This morning, we have the privilege of having Mr. Jim Sloan speak to us, and he is with Deaf Outreach Ministries. He is with Come Ministries, that is a committee on missionary evangelism, and he and his wife Joyce have been doing this, and they live in Georgia, and it's probably nicer in Wisconsin right now, but we're getting nice. They travel extensively. You guys travel all over the place, and God has just sustained them. He has enabled them to do this ministry in just a variety of different ways, just physically and giving them opportunities and things like that. We were musing this morning about how long our church has just been in ministry with you, supporting you. We figure 30 plus years, somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't know. I wasn't born that far ago. I'm 31, so I'm at the ragged edge, all right? So this has just been a blessing to be able to still have you back here and be supporting you, Jim. And I told First Service, you know, when Jim comes up here, he's not a visitor anymore. You know, after 30 years, he's just family, okay? So welcome him as such and listen to him as such.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. That's better. That's better. All right. I hope that you will come back tonight because the service tonight, I will be sharing about our ministry. And again, I want to thank you so very much for your support all of these many years that keeps us going to all of the things that God has opened for us to do. And we appreciate that so very much. I'll give you one little idea so that it will encourage you to come tonight, all right? About 4 years ago, I traveled for the first time to Kenya, Africa. And it was a good experience. The second year, we went back for a deaf camp, and we went to check out the buildings where we were going to meet, and we stopped on the way back home to a restaurant to eat. I had my computer and my projector and three flash drives. Now, some of you may not know what that is, but it's all right, okay? They were in my carry-on. So we went into the restaurant to eat. We finished. We came back to the car, and my friend, James, who is a deaf preacher, was with me, and he said, Jim, where is your computer? I said, oh, it will show up. I thought that somebody had hidden it to make me feel, you know. But the story is that the pastor forgot to lock the car, and my computer, my projector, and my three flash drives with all of my mind on them was gone. The pastor said, we go to the police. I said, yeah. And when we went to the police, he gave me a number, and he laughed at me. And I said to him, because many of them speak English, and I said, you will never find that computer. Well, he didn't say yes or no, but he kind of, you know. And I knew that from all of the experiences in the past anyway. Well, I never did find that computer or projector or my flash drives or all of that. It was gone. I knew that. But when it came my time to preach in the deaf camp, they would all come to me and they'd say, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You've no computer, you know, no PowerPoint, no flash drives, nothing. And I said to them, when I first began to preach and to teach to the deaf, all we had was a blackboard and white chalk. I said, you think they're stealing these things or going to bother me? Not at all. Well, the end of that story is very interesting because As I was writing my outline and my notes on a whiteboard this time, James came to me and he said, we have a Church of Christ deaf preacher here. And we have been discussing this afternoon baptism, of course. And he said, can you teach on that tonight? Now, if you use PowerPoint, you know that that kind of flows, and it's very difficult to add or to take away or change it. Why, your point, boom, okay, you just follow through on it. God knew that, so he stole my computer, and so I said, of course. So I got down to a certain place, and I just wrote some verses like Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, and then back to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23. And so when I was teaching, I got to the place where I could just add, and I said, I want you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, read it. Open to Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, read it. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, read it. Okay. I said, what does those verses have in common? And they read it, and it says that the blood of Jesus forgives sins. And then Colossians chapter 2 and verse 23, it says that he forgives all of our sins. Well, the finish of that story is when we gave the invitation, this man came forward, this Church of Christ preacher, deaf, and he said this, for the first time, I understand it's the blood that forgives sins and not water. That's the kind of story that we have, that we can tell you because you so faithfully give every month to support our ministry. So thank you so very much for that. Let me ask you a question. What is the last message that Jesus gave to the church? Now, you should already know that because the verses are up there. It should not be up there yet, but it's there, okay? If I have a smaller group, I ask them, and I expect, when I'm preaching to the deaf, they talk with me, all right? If I ask a question, they're going to answer it. It may be wrong, but they're going to answer it, all right? So if I were in a smaller group and I ask you, what was the last, well, you'd say, well, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, where it says, preach the gospel to every person, or Matthew chapter 28, or Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Most of the time, people will say that. I was reading, doing some research yesterday on the internet, and it says the last words of Jesus was, it's finished. That's a good one, but it's not the last message that Jesus gave to his disciples. The last message that Jesus gave to his disciples is found in the last book and the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. If you would open your Bibles to that. If not, you can just look at the thing. Now, I use the KJV. That's because there's so many different variations, and I usually explain that maybe the words are a little bit different, but the meaning is the same, and I usually pick out words that I want to emphasize, so I use the KJV. I put it up there for you to read. So if you open your Bible to Revelation chapter 22, read verse 7. Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, and it says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now read verse 12. almost the same words, right? Now read verse 20. What is the last message that you think that Jesus is emphasizing? And this was spoken by Jesus. If you have a red letter Bible, it's red letters. So Jesus said these things. This was the last message to the church. What do you think it is? I come. So, twice he said, "Behold, I come quickly." All right? Next. The word "behold." Behold, we are a busy people. We're doing so many various things, always busy. And sometimes if we look at things that are happening around us, we're watching TV, we're listening to the news, we're reading the newspapers, and all of these things that are happening around us just focus on the wrong thing. And I think that Jesus is saying, hey, pay attention to me. I have a message for you. You'll notice that he said, "Behold, I." It's Jesus. Three different verses that we show here in John chapter 14 and verse 3. You're familiar with these verses. You remember Jesus said, "I will come again." In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, you remember the angels appeared when Jesus ascended into heaven, and they said to the disciples, "Hey, why are you standing here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus will come again." There are two different signs for same. There is a same, like this guy right here is a man, right? Say yes. Yeah. The man right behind there is a man, right? They're the same. No, they're different. They're the same as man, but they're different in personalities, different in size, you know, so forth. One is, never mind. We will stop right there, okay? They're different. But when something is just like one of the other, they use this. That's the same as that. Like, Jesus is the same as God. See the difference? We wouldn't say he's the same because, no, Jesus is the same as God. And so the angels are saying this same Jesus that you saw ascend into heaven, that same Jesus is coming back. The same one is coming back. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, if you've been to funerals, you've heard that verse quote. And it really says this same Jesus will come again. The Lord himself will come. And so we are to pay attention because Jesus himself is coming back. Now you will notice that it says that he will come quickly. Now there's two meanings from that. Number one, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, Jesus is going to come." That means that he's going to appear quick, and it's going to be finished, and we're going to be gone. No time to prepare. No time to do anything. It's going to happen. It's going to be finished immediately. I come quickly. Another is that he come soon, that he will come soon. Now, when I was growing up, I went to church that preached the Bible. And I remember as a little boy holding on to the seat because the preacher said that Jesus could come at any moment, and if you're not saved, you're going to die and go to hell. Well, I was not saved. I can remember that. He could come any time, and I tell you again today that Jesus can, he can come any time. Now, when I was a little boy, and that's been, well, a few years back, all right? And up to now, Jesus has not come back. Now, Peter, writing in 2 Peter, said that in the last days, there would be scoffers saying, okay, you say promise that he's coming back, so where is his coming? Not yet coming, you know, so you don't believe it. But he says, I will come again. And that's with surely, surely he's going to come again. For sure, it's going to happen. One day, Jesus is coming back. Jesus himself is coming back. And it will be finished. It will be successful. He will keep that promise and will come again. Now, what do we do while we wait? That's a sign for do. And that means you're doing, 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 doing. What do? While we wait. Well, you see, in each of those three verses, there's a little bit more than just, surely I come, and I come quickly. Notice in verse 7, it says, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now, the word keep in the Bible has two different meanings. One is that you guard it as a precious thing. It's mine. But inherent in that meaning is the second word, obey. I want you to notice in 1 Samuel chapter 16, I'm sure that you'll remember the story. God had commanded Saul to go and utterly destroy the other nation, and he brought back animals and the king. And because of that, he said, oh, we brought back the animals to sacrifice to God. And Samuel said, it is better to obey than to sacrifice to God. And I think sometimes that God has called people to be as missionaries, to travel to foreign countries and preach the gospel to people in other nations. And they say, no, I'm going to stay here. In fact, a young man, when I was living in Wichita, Kansas, came to me and he said, and he was learning to be a pilot. And he said, I want to be a missionary pilot. And I said, fantastic, because missionaries always need pilots to take them to different stations to save time rather than trying to walk or canoe or, you know, any of those kinds of riding a donkey, you know, whatever. And I encouraged him, and he was practicing getting his license and all of those kinds of things. For a short time, I missed him in church. And one Sunday, he showed up, and I said, well, I've missed you. And he said, yeah, I've been doing a lot of thinking. And he said, I think that it would be better for me to stay in America. Because, you know, pilots earn good money. And he said, I can send money to help support the missionaries. I looked at him eyeball to eyeball, and I'm always very kind. And I said, I want you to do something for me. I said, would you do something for me? And he said, yeah. I said, I want you to write the missionaries and ask them, which would be better for you, an airplane pilot or money? If God had called him to be a pilot, it is better to be a pilot than to sacrifice and give money. But there was others. There's in John chapter 14, there are four times that obedience is connected with love. First of all, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Three times it's positive, one time it's negative. Four times your obedience is connected with the love that you have for Jesus. And then it says also in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, that is called the chapter of faith, right? I call it the chapter of obedience, because true faith always leads to obedience. You read it. Abraham had faith and he left. Noah had faith, he built. All through that whole thing, faith always leads to obedience. So while we're waiting for Jesus to come back, we need to be obedient. And I have listed there some commands like be ye holy, love not the world, go into all the world and preach the gospel, so forth. Those are commands that we need to be obedient as we wait for the Lord to come back. But there's a second. In the verse 12, it talks about reward for those who are working, who are serving God. And that's the second thing that we need to be doing while we're waiting for Jesus to come back. One of the first things that's going to happen when Jesus comes back is that we're going to face Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. And Romans chapter 14 and verse 10 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, both of those verses show that we as individuals will stand before Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it explains that judgment. You know the story. There's going to be separation of our works into one pile and the other pile. This is going to be wood, hay, and stubble. This is going to be gold and silver and precious stone. And they're going to be tried with fire. And you understand what's going to happen to these. They're going to be consumed. No reward. These will be rewarded. And then I've got four of the reasons or how Jesus is going to judge our works. Number one, does it give glory to God or me? Am I doing the service for God or for me to receive the praise, the pat on the back of people? Have to be careful about that. That's pride. And do it willingly. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if I preach the gospel willingly, then I have a reward. And then coming on down, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, that as a steward, that is with the things that God has entrusted to us, we must be faithful in doing that. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, we're to stay steady, be faithful in abundance of work. And so when Jesus comes back, we as Christians are going to stand before this judgment. And I'm afraid that many will be crying at that judgment because of the loss of rewards. Revelation chapter 4, the end verse tells us that when we come to Jesus to worship him, we will lay our crowns at his feet. The only thing that you and I as Christians can earn to pay back to Jesus for all he has done for us will be the crowns that we have won because of our serving him, waiting for him to come again. Then number three, you remember that John was on an island called Patmos. He had been put there, separated from all of the others because of his preaching. And when he heard this message from Jesus, he said, Amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. John said, I am ready for you to come back. You can come now if you want. So I ask you, are you ready for Jesus to come? It will happen, for sure. That's what Jesus said, surely I come again. It's going to happen one day. And when he comes back in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, it's going to be finished and we're going to be taken up. You as a Christian, are you ready to meet Jesus? You've confessed your sins. You complete obedience to what God wants you to do. Are you faithfully serving, doing what God has planned for you to do? Are you ready? I ask you this morning, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not ready for Jesus to come back. Because the Bible teaches that when Jesus comes, if you've never been saved, you're going to be left on this earth. And you're going to go through some really, really horrible, horrible, horrible things that are going to happen. And probably you will not be saved after that time. Could I encourage you this morning to examine your heart? Do you know a time in the past when you have come to God and you said, God, I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve to die and go to hell, but I believe that Jesus took my place. He received punishment for my sins, and I now receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. You can do that this morning, and you can be ready for Jesus to come. Think about that. Father, thank you for the time to preach your word. Use it for your glory. And I pray, Father, that we as Christians would prepare to meet you at any time. It could happen. And for these that there are some probably that's never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're not saved. And if Jesus decided to come today, and he could, they would not be ready. And so I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit right now would draw people to receive Jesus as their Savior so that they could raise their hand, yes, I'm ready if Jesus comes back. We'll give you all the glory and the praise. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. We'll see you tonight, okay?